Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the heat is finally calming down here in St. Louis. The threat of dying by just going outside is subsiding, and people are finally getting back outside. It's lovely when my kids are outside of the house. And that reminds me of my childhood. When I was growing up in northern Indiana, we did nothing but play outside all summer long, all day long. And at the end of every day, we could count on it. Mom and Dad would call out, "Ben, Tim, time to come home." And then we kept playing. The lightsaber battle would be raging on, and we just weren't ready to stop, or my team was just about ready to score the winning kickball run, and so we were going to win the kickball championship. And so with some selective hearing, Mom and Dad would sometimes have to call out to us a few times to get us to return home. There was a certain grace to it all. We could be out there playing, and we didn't have to worry about what was going on at home, what we needed to do, what the chore list was, what time it was. We could always count on Mom and Dad calling us home. Martin Luther has taught us that the entire Christian life is a call of daily repentance. Not a one and done, once for all repentance that you did just one special time in life, but a daily calling to come home to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But like little deviant Ben Haupts, we're running around and maybe plugging our ears every once in a while and not coming to the Lord on his first call home. And so he calls and he calls and he calls. And this morning I want to offer you a couple of additional ways that the Lord calls his people back home through the scriptures. Now I want to do this using Psalm 116, so a confession. Psalm 116 is the psalm appointed for today. You might take it out of the hymnals as I'm explaining myself. I chose Psalm 116, 1 through 9, as the psalm that I would preach on, but I didn't communicate that to the dean of chapel. So we're going to take a look at it now. Psalm 116, verses 1 through 9. And as we walk through this, we will hear the Lord's call to return. Look at verse 7. "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." Verse 1 starts out this psalm in a rather strange way. You see there, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy." But in Hebrew, it says, "Ahavti ki shema Adonai." I loved because the Lord heard. The English translators have to substitute, "I love the Lord," because it's such a strange Hebrew construction. Well, I think the psalmist probably knew what he was doing, and I think we need to tune in more carefully, especially to these words, by reading them in their original languages. You're spending a lot of time here at Concordia Seminary learning to listen to the Lord's word and the Lord's call through the original languages. "Ahavti ki shema Adonai." I wonder if the psalmist is playing with the great Shema. Do you know Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, right? The great Shema, the great creed of Israel. "Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad." "Hear, O Israel." And it goes on. "Va'ahavta." et Adonai Elocha, and you shall love the Lord your God. See, the psalmist flips it around. I have indeed loved, just like the Shema instructs me to do, because the Lord heard. I have loved because the Lord heard. Slowing down and reading this in Hebrew, I heard this great gospel truth come out of this text. We love because the Lord first loved us, first heard us. So one great way to listen to the scriptures is to listen to them in their original languages. The second is, helps us to look at verse 2. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. Because he inclined his ear to me. Now, one of the church fathers helped me to understand this verse. Some of you know that I wrote my dissertation on Tertullian and the New Testament. Well, this summer we were out vacationing in Washington State, and we went to this lovely little rural parish, and the pastor was preaching to not more than 50 people, and to me and to my family. And in the middle of his sermon, he quoted no less than Tertullian. My family laughed out loud so much that the pastor stopped his sermon. You can do that in a small congregation. And he said, do you know Tertullian? And I think I replied something like, I've been living with him for 5 years. Seminary professors say really weird things sometimes when they're put on the spot. I haven't yet convinced my family that it's important to listen to the church fathers, but I think you're a little more sympathetic audience. Basil of Caesarea says about this verse, verse 2, some interesting things. He says about that because he inclined his ear to me, he says, this is not about the Lord taking flesh and kneeling down to us. Kind of a surprising insight. You would think immediately of the incarnation of Jesus, but Basil of Caesarea says, no, what's really going on here is the weakness of our voice. Our cry for mercy is so quiet that the Lord has to incline himself to us. And he listens not only to our audible cries, but even to the stirrings of our hearts. Basil says, the Lord was able to hear the blood of Abel crying out from the dirt. That is how intently our Lord listens to his creation and to his people. What beautiful imagery that our God would stoop to hear us in our weakness. So sometimes we hear the Lord's voice a little more keenly through listening to others, even through church fathers. Take a look at verse 3 with me. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish, and then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. The snares of death, the pangs of Sheol, suffering, distress, and anguish. Oh, I knew all about these during the first couple of years of ministry. See, as a young pastor, one of my duties had been to go to the NICU and to pray with a family and a little newborn who had severe birth defects. And we prayed. I would grab hold of this tiny infant's hand and the hand of mommy and daddy, and we would pray for him. For 3 months, I spent time with this family, but the baby died. And we knew death crept in close around us. Not only that, around the same time, some members of the congregation, some very prominent members of the congregation, sinned in some very public ways, some very surprising ways that I was not prepared to observe of the people of God. I feared for their salvation. And my sins became all the more acute. I became all the more aware of my own sins. And I knew that I was under the hand of God, and I felt his wrath. I feared his eternal punishment, the pangs of Sheol. And oh, suffered distress and anguish. I hadn't yet learned the gift of boundaries, so I was working 70, 80, sometimes 90 hours a week, believing that my overworking was necessary for the survival of the congregation. And so when I was asked to go visit Ruth Hagedorn in the long-term care facility, I wasn't really excited. In fact, Ruth was a double amputee, had been confined to a hospital bed. And I'll be honest, when I walked in to do my duty, to speak the gospel to her, to administer the sacraments to her, it was only a duty. And as I looked around, as I walked into the long-term care facility and smelled the urine and the feces, this was not the pick-me-up that I personally needed. So I went in, doing my duty, and there was Ruth. Bright smile. "Pastor, it's so good to see you." Oh, I thought, she's putting on an act for the pastor. And then she told me about her troubles and how the Lord had seen her through all of them. And then she said to me, "Pastor, how can I pray for you?" Ruth had loved because she had heard. She knew her Lord Jesus. She knew that the cords of death had entangled him, that the pangs of Sheol had nearly overcome him as he descended into hell. She knew that the Lord was risen to life and was listening to her every plea, and she was living the life of Jesus. She was living out the text of Psalm 116 right in front of me. I couldn't hear the text, but Ruth spoke it so clearly through her life. You see, sometimes the Lord uses the lives of his saints to live out the scriptures, to call us back home. So in your seminary classes, as you're spending time in the original languages, as you're spending time maybe even reading church fathers like Basil or listening to modern church fathers like our own faculty comment on the scriptures, as you're out in RFE congregations or at your institutional module or even over chapel coffee amongst yourselves, and you hear the ways that the Lord is calling to you through his saints, perk up. It's a call of grace, a call to return home to him. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand to sing the Te Deum.